Extra time.
Hello and welcome back to the Extra Time podcast. It's me, Patrick Van Straten, and today I'm joined by Doogie Critchley. How are you, Doogie?
Yeah, good. Nice to be back on the podcast. It's been a little while. Just filmed the football pyramid with Bab and Jackson. Ooh. And ready to go on this Tuesday morning.
You know, no offence to Bab, but I don't imagine that he won the competition.
Jackson, he got up to the Bab ended up finishing.
That's not bad.
I feel like I've just actually given away the entire episode there, but never mind.
You have. Maybe we can bleep that out in post-production.
Yeah. Bleep that, exactly.
I think at some point, though, Duke, somebody else is going to have to step into the quizmaster role for a week just so that you can test yourself against the football pyramid.
Yeah, the only thing is that I've got such a backlog of questions. I feel like I've seen all the questions that have been sent in.
Yeah.
And I don't want to be accused of cheating if I end up doing okay. But I'd like to give it a go one day, but it might need a couple of weeks break, maybe.
Look, accusations of cheating never stopped Chris Hamill.
Yeah, I'll say that. This is true.
When he used to rig Stat Wars the champs every year.
No, for sure. And whenever I'd put him against, because then I ran it for a year, and whenever I put him against pretty good opposition, he'd always be like, no, I've played them before.
It's like there are 10 people in it. Like, you've played everyone before. That's how
exactly.
It works. Well, whatever. Well, anyway, this week we're going to talk about some of the big movers this summer, but not necessarily the guys who are the most wanted on the transfer market, but the players who could be casualties of big clubs rejigging their squads. Now, obviously, we've seen that lots of teams might need to cut some costs in the wake of the coronavirus crisis. And as a result, there could be some really interesting offcuts to be had from around Europe's top five leagues. So we're going to start with Real Madrid. Now, rumours are that Real Madrid are actually not planning to invest that big this summer and instead are going to look to recoup some of the money that they've lost due to coronavirus and that they've spent over the last few years in preparation for going hard for Kylian Mbappe in 2021. And as a result, we may see 22-year-old Serb Luka Jovic fall by the wayside. Now, obviously, arrived to much fanfare last year for around 60 million euros from Eintracht Frankfurt, but has played just 384 league minutes this year. Now, in his defence, Karim Benzema has been absolutely fantastic, but it now looks that with this pursuit for Mbappe on the horizon, plus the emergence of young talents like Rodrigo and Vinicius Jr., it may be hard for Jovic to ever find a place in that Real Madrid squad, and so potentially he could move on this summer with Leicester, Arsenal, Chelsea and AC Milan all linked with him. Now, it's not just his lack of minutes which could kind of prompt Real Madrid to think about a future without Jovic. He also has a bit of a reputation for being a knob behind the scenes. Back in March, he obviously broke quarantine rules so that he could fly to Serbia to see his girlfriend, which did not go down well, right, as you can imagine, with the situation in Spain at the time. But, Dukes, it still looks like there's a player worth having there, I would say.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I maybe was a little bit more sceptical about him than some others when he joined Real Madrid. I mean, I certainly didn't think he'd be, you know, the pretty much a flop that he's turned out to be, at least in the minutes he's been given so far. But he really only had one exceptional year at Frankfurt, in playing for a manager in Adi Hütter that always gets the best out of his forward players when he has talent available to him. Even this year, you've seen like Daichi Kamada, Gonzalo Paciencia do really well. And these aren't players that you'd expect to be probably performing at the top end in a European league, or in a top five league at least. But yeah, Jovic, I think Benzema's form has been a surprise to everyone. I mean, he just has gone to a new level this year in terms of his creativity, in terms of his finishing inside the box, in terms of his leadership of this whole side. I don't think anyone really deserves this. I think it looks like it's going to be their second title in 8 years, more than Benzema. So it has been pretty tricky. But yeah, as you say, there is a player in there. So across his career in top five leagues, he's averaged over 3 shots a game, 0.84 expected goals and assists per 90, which is really pretty exceptional, and has produced 27 goals and 7 assists in 3,500 minutes, which is clearly a very good tally. But it's those minutes that is the real concern. But in terms of where I'd like to see him going, I think the funnest and best for his career right now, I'd actually probably would say is AC Milan, just because they need to move on from Zlatan Ibrahimovic this summer. I think Ralf Rangnick, when he comes in and sees that Zlatan's paid something like 6 million euros for 6 months, isn't going to see this as a worthwhile investment, as good as Zlatan has been at points this season. And to reconstruct an attack around the likes of Rebic, Jovic, Rafa Leao, Paqueta less so, but Castillejo has played very well in the last couple of months. Calhanoglu supporting that as well, with potentially another 10 coming in, I think would be quite exciting. Chelsea don't really need him with Werner and Abraham as their number nines, and I don't think that gives him the playing time that he so clearly craves at this time of his career. So I'm not entirely sure, I mean, where he could end up, but I'd prefer to see him at AC Milan. But Pat, what do you think about the Leicester and Arsenal links?
Well, Leicester reportedly are willing to pay around 31 million for him. I don't see that happening. From what I've seen on the Madrid side, it looks like they want closer to kind of 45 million. And that's definitely money that clubs could pay historically, though maybe not this summer. So I think it might be contingent on sales for either Leicester or Arsenal to make such a big move for him. Leicester, he's certainly one of the best young strikers in Europe. And as a result, he'd definitely be a great signing for Leicester, especially as he's previously played in a two with a more creative forward. And so you can imagine an Iheanacho Jovic front two being really quite exciting, especially with support from Harvey Barnes and James Maddison. But he is definitely a different player stylistically to Jamie Vardy. He's quick enough, but he's certainly not exceptionally fast. He's much more of a penalty box poacher. He's very good in the air. He's extremely strong. But they would need to adjust their style. I think about a quarter of his shots come from headers, so it would mean that they'd be able to cross a little bit more, but they would potentially not get as many high-value chances through balls for him. So I think that might be a little bit of an issue, but when you've got a player as good as Jovic, if you're Leicester, I think you just go and get him. On the other hand, I think he'd get much better wages at Milan or at Arsenal. Arsenal are a bit difficult because, as with every story about Arsenal's transfer business, we always find ourselves saying, well, it depends what happens with Aubameyang and Lacazette. I think if one of those guys go, it would make a lot more sense. And actually, I think that as much as Aubameyang is a better striker than Lacazette, I think that Lacazette is actually more in the mould that Arteta probably wants from a striker. He's going to drop deep. He's going to press a little bit more. He's going to link up play a bit more. He's a bit more creative. Aubameyang doesn't really want to play that way. And so,
he's certainly a better passer.
Yeah, and I think with that in mind, you could imagine Jovic maybe fitting a bit more into Arteta's idea of what a striker should be, a kind of pivot around whom he can have, you know, attacking wingers kind of play off. So I think that would make a lot of sense. He's not as hard-working as Nketiah and Lacazette. Though he played in that really high-pressing system under Huta, he was averaging about 16 pressures a game, which is about the same as Aubameyang and Pepe this season, whereas Lacazette's at about 24 pressures a game, and Nketiah's around 26. So, I don't know. To me, I have this feeling that if Arsenal were to lose one of those forwards, they might just invest really heavily in a left winger and an attacking midfielder rather than necessarily going for an out-and-out striker, because they might say, look, even if we lose Aubameyang, between Lacazette and Nketiah and Martinelli, we've got enough in the number nine position and we can actually make up that shortfall in Aubameyang's goals more economically by investing in a winger where we don't really have a player. We don't really have a proper left winger. And attacking midfield where we also don't really have a player.
So, and hope that Pepe improves next year as well.
Exactly. And so I think that potentially that might be Arteta's thinking. But if he were looking for a striker this summer, and for instance, if they were to lose both Aubameyang and Lacazette, then I think we'd see them go for a player like this. And I think it would make an awful lot of sense for them. Like, he's, as we've said, you know, like, he's extremely strong. He gets loads of shots off from inside the box. He's just 22. I think that Arteta would probably imagine that he could convince him to kind of put aside some of his troublemaking ways. But I think I agree with you overall. I think that Milan is the most obvious choice for him. It looks like none of these sides, though, is going to end up with Champions League football. I mean, Chelsea aside. It looks like none of these teams will end up with Champions League football. So it might come down to who can pay the most in wages. And of Arsenal, Milan and Leicester, you've got to say it would be Arsenal. But I think that Rangnick will probably demand some money to invest this summer, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. No, I think he's not gone in there with the amount of work that they need to do in certain areas of their squad. They've got a really unbalanced squad in terms of they've got a lot of talented young players. We talked about this on Continental Club last week. A lot of talented young players around the sort of 21 to 24 range. Then quite a few like plus 30s that really aren't saying much anymore, like a Barini, although he's out on loan, Bonaventura, Luca Biglia. So there's definitely some offloading and wheeler-dealering that Rangnick will no doubt do this summer. And you'd also expect him to use some of his RB, you know, his RB links over the last couple of years as well. Patson Daka might be looked at as well, the RB Salzburg young striker who's really caught people's attention in quite limited minutes this year. So I would expect Rangnick to go in there with a clear plan. And if you could get Jovic, I think that'd be a really exciting signing because there is so much more to come from him. And actually sitting on the bench and playing, you know, 15 minutes once a week isn't really enough for a player at his stage and with his talent level.
Yes, completely agree. So shall we move on?
Let's do it.
Given that we've agreed that Jovic will probably go to Milan. Let's go to a player who could be on his way out of the Emirates rather than his way in, which is Matteo Guendouzi. The 21-year-old has been training by himself since that Brighton game where he popped off at Neil Mopé. And Mikel Arteta has made it clear publicly that Guendouzi will either get on board or will be moved on. He obviously has been a little bit of a problem this season generally. Had a bust up with Socrates, I think, during some warm weather training back in the spring. And apparently some of the coaching staff have also had issues with him. But despite these problems, it doesn't look like he's going to be short of suitors. We've seen him linked with Man United, Barcelona, PSG, Liverpool, Atletico Madrid and Lyon over the last couple of weeks. Do you like Guendouzi, Dukes? Because I feel like now he's on the back pages, it's been really interesting to see who is a Guendouzi fan and who is not.
I'm kind of... he seems like most people are quite strong on him either way. He seems like quite a Marmite player, but I'm actually very much in the middle. I'm quite disappointed in that he seems to have thrown away an opportunity to really establish himself at Arsenal, a club that has done a lot for him. Like, he was playing in Ligue 2 before they bought him for £8 million from Lorient, gave him a lot of football last year, and he's played regularly until Arteta's arrival. And it seems like Arteta's looking for a slightly different type of midfielder. Like, Guendouzi seemed to profit and play very well under the sort of chaos of the Emery system, where there was massive gaps between midfield and defence and between midfield and attack. It was really unstructured, really against what a lot of people thought Emery was going to bring to the club. And Guendouzi seemed to be this sort of crazy guy that you could make him, you know, really press on a player for a game. He could really, you know, hold his line as well. He would just do whatever job Emery seemingly wanted from him with 100% enthusiasm and 100% commitment. But now Arteta's come in and he seems to have brought Xhaka back into the fold. I think Xhaka's played really well in the last couple of months. I think Ceballos has shown some great form since the resumption as well, particularly in that game against Spurs at the weekend, where I thought he was really unlucky to finish up on the losing side. He was really controlling midfield. He was the one, you know, on both sides that was offering the sort of most forward balls, really incisive passing. So I thought he looked, you know, some of the best form he's shown in an Arsenal shirt. But Guendouzi, just a bit disappointing. Apparently he showed a real lack of contrition after the Brighton game where he'd, you know, antagonised Mopé to such an extent and he ended up being dragged off by his own club staff. Arteta was like, this is not the sort of player and attitude we want at Arsenal when he's trying to build this new culture around the side. So he's only really got himself to blame. And then there was talk about him being Guendouzi on a trip to Dubai as well and getting his top off in a restaurant, which, you know, of all the places to do it, you don't want to be doing that in Dubai with their rules about drinking. But, you know, statistically, there are parts of his game that I think can look quite promising. He's producing about 3 tackles and interceptions per 90, and he gets fouled regularly, which is something that I hadn't really taken into account until, Pat, you did this research for this podcast. But he's getting fouled close to 3 times a game, over 1 dribble a match as well at 21. Suggests he's got a really sort of good ball-carrying ability, and he does thrive in certain situations in games, as I sort of said before. But Pat, have you seen enough from him to, you know, you've seen some glorious Arsenal midfielders over the years that could do the destructive side of the game and the more sort of pretty on the eye, you know, the thread of the eye of the needle balls, etc. Do you see enough of Guendouzi to suggest that he could really become the all-round midfielder that Arsenal need?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, he's only 21. And that's the thing that I think people always forget. They kind of say, oh, well, he's been at Arsenal now for nearly 2 years, so he should be, you know, playing, he should be one of the better midfielders in the league or something. And I think he's 21. Like, there's more than enough here to warrant a place in the squad. It doesn't, like, guarantee him a starting spot by any means. But as you said, like, his defensive numbers are okay. They could definitely improve. But the fact that he can dribble a decent amount, I think, is really promising. And he's a really good passer. He's completing 85% of his long balls this season, which is actually the best mark in the squad. He's second in the squad for passes into the final third, just behind Xhaka, with about 7 a game, which actually ranks really highly in the league. Only Ozil plays more progressive passes than him per 90. And I think, you know, you've seen him really take charge of some games this season. Like, I think the Spurs game at home in the autumn. Yeah, and then the one where we were down to 10 men and we beat Villa at home 3-2. Both of those games, he just really took charge. And I was really impressed by that. And to be able to do that, I think at that point he was still 20. To be able to do that 20 is quite impressive. Like, I mean, we've had some amazing midfielders at the Emirates, but I can't, apart from Fabregas and Wilshere, it's hard to think of players who were as developed as Guendouzi at such a young age. Like, I think, I truly, truly think that that goes unremarked upon so much of the time. Like, positionally, he's still all over the place, and he 100% needs to learn that, and he definitely needs to learn some discipline. But I think that there's enough talent there that you'd say we want to keep him and develop it, unless you've got a really good opportunity. Like, if somebody offers big money for him this summer, I can understand taking it if you know what you can do with that money. And for instance, with the Lyon rumour, there's now, like, talk that maybe Arsenal want Aoua and Lyon want Guendouzi, and maybe you could swap Guendouzi and a little bit of cash for Aoua. I think that would make a lot of sense, because Aoua actually fits a bigger need in the Arsenal squad right now. But when you see stuff like, oh, maybe he could go to Atletico Madrid in exchange for Thomas Partey, I think that's ridiculous. Thomas Partey is 27. Guendouzi is 21. I think it's absolutely ludicrous to suggest that that would be a sensible move for Arsenal, because by the we've talked about this before, but by the time that Arsenal's promising young attackers like Saka and Martinelli are hitting 22, 23 and really getting into their peak years, Partey would need to be replaced because he'll be 31. And I think quite often people think, well, he's 27. You know, you've got 5 years of him being quality. No, you don't. Midfielders tend to be out of their peak by 29. And that doesn't mean that they're just completely done, but it means that you're paying them up until they're 32 for years that they're in decline. And at the end of those decline years, you have an asset that's worth considerably less than you paid for. Plus, I don't know. Are Arsenal going to win anything in the next 4 years? Probably not. Like, what they need to be doing over the next 4 years is building a squad that can then win something from kind of 2024 onwards. Like, that to me is the sensible move. And this is why I also don't like the idea of, well, they just have to keep Aubameyang no matter what. Why? Like, he's not going to win you anything next season. And as we've shown, we're not going to get back into the Champions League immediately, even with him. So with that in mind, you should say, what is our best prospect for long-term success? Is it to carry on giving overpriced contracts to older players, or is it to hang on to youngsters and really commit to developing them as best we can? Now, like I've said, this doesn't mean I'm totally against it. And I think that there are clubs who might offer us potentially enough money to make it interesting. Like, I don't know about you, but the Man United rumour I kind of rule out. I think they need a proper defensive midfielder. Guendouzi certainly isn't that now. Maybe he could turn into that, but it doesn't look like it anytime soon. Barcelona, I also don't really understand. Like, to me, he's like Frenkie de Jong, but worse in every aspect.
Yeah.
So I don't really get that either. PSG, I could maybe see. PSG always are linked to young, promising French talent. Not that they ever go for them, but I could see PSG maybe. Verratti's 27. A lot of the other players they have are like out and out defenders, you know, like Herrera, like Gay, like Marquinhos, who's played there. But again, I think that he, if he's not disciplined enough for Arteta, I doubt he's going to be disciplined enough for Tuchel.
Mm.
So where would you think would be the best landing spot for him of all these mooted options? Oh, because actually, the last one I thought, I was thinking about this at the weekend. I thought, Guendouzi not in the Arsenal squad for the Spurs game. Ndombele unused on the bench. What would really make sense, if you could do it, would just be swapping those two players. Ndombele would be perfect for Arsenal. And Guendouzi, I could actually really, really see Mourinho liking him. I really could. Because he's a big guy, actually. And as he fills out, like, I mean, he's like 6 feet tall, or 6'1", but he weighs like 60 kilos. He's incredibly light. And so, but you do imagine that as he fills out a bit physically, he could turn into a real battleship in the middle of midfield. And I could kind of see Mourinho liking him in a sort of Sami Khedira role. But I don't know. What do you think?
I mean, I'm still... The thing that stuck out from me on everything you just said is that Verratti's 27. I thought he was way older than that. That's crazy.
You thought he was older than that? Everyone seems to think he's still 24.
Verratti's been around for so long now. I think that's incredible that he's only 27. I mean, what a player. But of all those options... To be honest, I see your point about the swap with Partey. Probably doesn't make financial sense for Arsenal. And you're basically betting on Guendouzi not turning into the player that he looks like he could be, which is actually a world-leading midfielder in a few years, whereas Partey is a very good midfielder now. Mm. I think he's been slightly overhyped by people in the last month or so. I mean, most players that are linked to Arsenal end up being slightly overhyped.
Sure.
But I think Atleti... Guendouzi at Atleti, I could see really working well, just because his work rate is phenomenal. And if Simeone could sort of harness his sort of ill-disciplined positionally and love of a crunching challenge, although Simeone would probably want to keep that going, then I could really see him doing well at Atleti over a period of 5 to 6 years. And at that stage, they'll have a very sellable asset. Because players at Atletico Madrid, they're routinely involved in the latter stages of the Champions League. They're always competing, you know, vaguely at the top of La Liga. Their players always have a very high sell-on value. We've seen them buy really badly in the last couple of years in Diego Costa and Vitolo and players like that, but they've actually sold very few of their players because they signed them down to these enormous contracts with massive release clauses. So Guendouzi could be a really smart investment for Atleti, and if he's available for, I mean, people are talking about between 20 and 30 million pounds this summer, because Arteta's so keen to get rid of him, and it just seems like this sort of it is done for him at Arsenal. So he could be an absolute steal for Atleti and Simeone, and I'd love to see the sort of player that he could turn into under the Argentines' tutelage.
I also think it would probably benefit him from going into a squad like that where nobody cares about you, you're not important, you're incredibly young, they're super together and organised and united and disciplined as a squad. And I think that he could really benefit from going somewhere like that, where you know, Emery was kind of known both at PSG and at Arsenal for not really having control over the dressing room. And in that setting, you can imagine a slightly arrogant 19, 20-year-old becoming a bit of a problem. Mm. Whereas at Atletico Madrid, with the combination of Simeone and the players he'd have around him, you just imagine that any sort of dickishness would get slapped out of him pretty quickly. Like, you've got to imagine that those guys would have absolutely no tolerance whatsoever for Guendouzi coming in and thinking that he was God's gift. And that's probably a good thing for him. You know, like, Arteta's done it at Arsenal. Arteta's saying, we might well get to the summer and Arsenal don't sell Guendouzi. And it turns out that this was all Arteta saying, essentially, to Guendouzi's camp, I'm willing to sell you if it comes to it. You know, just so that Guendouzi will kind of get his shit together. Because that is probably what he needs, to be told, no, you're going to do it my way. But he would also get that under Simeone as well, because Simeone's definitely not taking any shit from a 21-year-old.
100% no. And just to go back on one other team, Man United, I agree with you. I don't think he's the type of player he needs. And also, is he a massive improvement on Fred at the moment? I'm not totally sure. Is he a lot better than McTominay? Again, maybe marginally, but not by a lot, I would say, at the moment. So I don't think Man United need another option for those Bruno or Fernandez spots in their midfield. They just need that holding midfield. I'm baffled that they've given Matic a 3-year contract, really. I'd definitely go for a DM if I was them. So Guendouzi, probably not the one.
Yeah, agreed. So shall we move on to Juventus?
Let's do it.
Juventus are probably going to be cleaning house this summer. They have the oldest squad in Serie A, which is saying something. Wow. Their squad is 29.6 years old on average, which is over a year older than the next oldest team in Serie A, which is crazy to me. This season, there were three under-25s in the squad. Three. Demiral, who barely played, De Ligt, and Bentancur. That's it.
Blimey. Just as Sarri likes it.
Well, yeah. Actually, that's kind of true, yeah. But they've got some youngsters coming in. So they've got Romero, who will come back from loan. They've got Pellegrini coming back from loan. They've got Kulusevski coming back from loan. But they shell out so much money on old players. And some of those players are still useful. You know, you've got, obviously, Cuadrado, Ronaldo. Those guys are still playing a lot. Matuidi. But Cuadrado's 32. Higuain's 32. Douglas Costa's 29. Ronaldo's 35. Kedira's 33, Matuidi's 33, Ramsey's 29, Alexandro's 29, Chiellini's 35, he's going to get a new contract, Bonucci is 33. And ouch. Even when you think of the youngsters, if I asked you, you know, like for the young players in Juventus squad, I think some people would think, oh, Dybala, he's quite young, right? Or Daniele Rugani, he's going to be one for the future. Rugani's 25, Dybala's 26.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to need to shift some guys this summer. And look, a lot of these people are just not going to leave because they're on decent wages and contracts expire next year. So I think Kedira, Matuidi, a bunch of those guys have contracts up until next season. There's no way anybody is offering them the same amount of money to go elsewhere. So I think that Juve are stuck with them. And as a result, they might need to sell some of their younger players. And Bernardeschi, who's 26, is probably one of their better assets. He's not going to fetch a huge amount of money, I don't think, because he's got 2 years left on his contract. But given that they've got Kulusevski arriving to replace him next season, I think it would probably be best for them to sell. However, Dukes, when you look at his stats for this year and last year, it's hard to imagine them really getting a huge sum of money for him, right? Because he's had a horrible campaign, really.
Yeah, I mean, it hasn't been good, but I do have some sympathy in that he's never been first choice, really.
Sure.
Sarri really did prefer Higuain, Ronaldo and Dybala playing as a number 10 for most of the year. And so there wasn't really much place for him. So he only has one assist and zero goals in 1,200 league minutes this year. But he has been slightly unfortunate because XG suggests that should be closer to six goal involvements. And he continues a pretty unlucky streak, which is not really what you want to be known for as a forward. He got five goal involvements last season from an expected goals of eight. But his raw numbers suggest that could improve, potentially as, you know, playing a bigger role in the side, people having more confidence in your ability to make game-changing decisions, you get given the ball in more exciting areas, because his numbers aren't actually too bad. So he takes three shots per 90, two key passes per 90, his XG remains pretty solid, it's around 0.5 per 90. But from the player he was expected to be when he arrived from Fiorentina, it hasn't really worked out. And I wouldn't be rushing to sign Bernardeschi if I was. I mean, you see a link to Chelsea, you see him linked to Man United if they can't get Sancho. And for me, I don't really see him having a future at those sort of clubs just yet. I feel like he might need to take a drop down a tier to a very, you know, well paid, you know, a very a club with a lot of cash that maybe not have the most amount of sense, like a sort of Valencia this summer. If they sell a Ferran Torres and they bring in Bernardeschi, I think that'd be quite an exciting move for them. But I don't think he's ready to perform week in, week out at a Champions League club just yet. Perhaps I'm being a bit harsh, Pat. I don't know whether you agree.
No, I kind of do agree. I think that that's probably the right sort of level for him. If he's available for like below market value, you could easily see a Sevilla or somebody coming in for him. But at the moment, it's pretty clear Juve want to get rid of him, and that's not a recipe for getting decent money. I mean, he's been linked with a move to Napoli, which would be in part exchange for Milik. He's been linked with a move to Wolves. I've actually written this incorrectly in the script. That would be along with Rugani in part exchange for Raul Jimenez. And then Chelsea, supposedly, there was a rumour this week that they are willing to offer Marcus Alonso and Jorginho in exchange for Bernardeschi and Rabiot, which I think would be a pretty great deal for Chelsea.
Yeah.
I wouldn't particularly like it from the Juve side, I've got to be honest. But so, yeah, it feels like he might be a bit of a casualty of of Juve's kind of squad rejig. But I don't know. I'm not sure I particularly like any of that. I could see him doing well at Wolves, actually. I could see him doing well at Wolves because I think he's a decent role player. He can play on both sides. He's played as a false nine. He's played as a 10 as well. He's pretty hardworking. But I also worry that his dribbling just seems to have completely disappeared. Like, if you look at when he was at Fiorentina and his first year at Juve, he was completing close to 3 dribbles a game and had a really high success rate. This season, he's completing about 1 dribble a game and his success rate is under 50%. God. And that is troubling to me.
That suggests a real lack of confidence.
Yeah, or something equally worrying, right? Like a lack of fitness.
Or pace, yeah.
Yeah, like that, it is quite troubling. And so with that in mind, I look at how he's trending. And at 26, I think this is not a guy who looks like he's underutilized by a big team and could explode at a smaller team, though he could. This looks like a guy who's kind of on the downslope. So I think that if you sign him, you do it knowing it's a risk. However, I do think if I were Wolves, I'd probably be interested. Just for a little bit of depth around the front line, a little bit of experience.
It'd be a step up in the likes of Daniel Pedence and stuff. But Pedro Neto's actually looked pretty neat when he's played this year in quite limited minutes. But yeah, Bernardeschi's definitely a step up on their depth there.
Yeah, and I still think they're kind of thin. Like, I like a lot of their young players, but a lot of their young players really are young. And it always feels with Wolves, and I think this is partially a Nuno thing and partially because they've done so well, but they are extremely reliant on a real central core of players. You don't see a huge amount of rotation in that side. You've seen a little bit more since the league restart, but generally speaking, you feel like the depth has sort of disappeared. You know, and guys like Cutrone coming in and leaving again so quickly, it just feels
Jesus
like,
Vallejo as well.
Yeah, it just feels like they need a larger group of players who Nuno feels he can trust. So with that in mind, I think Bernardeschi would be quite interesting for them. But I completely agree with you. Like, I think Man United would be way too high for him. Like, if you brought him into Man United, I don't know why you'd give him minutes rather than just saying, like,
Greenwood,
let's just give Greenwood the chance to prove himself. You're like, Greenwood's going to go through a dry patch at some point, but a dry patch is still going to be productive for a young player because he's going to learn from it. A guy who's 26 and probably on big wages because he's going to Man United, I don't know if that's sensible use of their time.
Greenwood, I mean, he looks like he will take a slight downturn at some stage, but he's still firing off over 3 shots. I think he's getting the highest proportion of his shots on target out of everyone in the Man United squad. I think it's about 55%, which is pretty lethal, really. I'm with you. I don't know why you'd stunt it. Wolves is a good shout. I remember writing a scout report about them a couple of months ago, so this might not be up to date as of now. But then they had used the fewest amount of players in Europe in terms of players that had minutes. I think all that was still in their squad, I think it was 19 at that stage. Which isn't a lot at all. So yeah, depth there would definitely be handy.
Nice. Well, I'm going to hit you with some quick fire transfers in a minute. Just some guys who could be on the move this summer, and I want to see where you'd put them. But before we do that, we're going to break from format a little bit because I wanted to talk a little bit about Saeed Benrahma.
Oh, nice.
Obviously not at a quote-unquote big side right now, but certainly one of the more exciting players available on the market this summer. He's 24 years old. He's now on 17 goals and 8 assists in 36 starts this season. Brentford are absolutely flying. They've had 6 straight wins since the restart of the championship. And in that time, Benrahma has scored 7 and assisted 1. His numbers are absolutely lethal, Dukes. They're so lethal, I can't even say it.
he does look phenomenal. I've got to say that in terms of all the leagues that I watch, Championship is definitely the one I watch the least of. In terms of, I try and keep in touch with all the top 5 leagues. I try and watch a bit of League One, obviously, with Sunderland. So I haven't seen that much of him in the flesh. But from the highlights packages I've seen, he just looks absolutely electric. And this is 2 incredible years of really top-level production. I mean, people were talking up for a move last summer along with Buendia as the best option in the Championship at the time, and I think Brentford did really well to hang on for him another year. I think it was Aston Villa that was showing particular interest, but the rumours are flying around of clubs of a much higher calibre than Aston Villa now in Chelsea and Arsenal. And you could see him working really well at either club. I'd say that Arsenal probably have more need for him, with Chelsea already recruiting Ziyech this summer and having Pulisic and Mount and Hudson-Odoi, etc. But Arsenal would be awesome. But I'd quite like him to go up with Brentford and stick with them for a year, because it's always quite fun when you just see one exceptional player in quite an average side, at Premier League level at least. So we'll see what comes of it. But yeah, his raw numbers are really exciting, aren't they, Pat?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that you were talking about Ziyech with Chelsea, because to me, Benrahma's numbers look a lot like Ziyech's have done in the Eredivisie. And I think the Championship and the Eredivisie are probably on a fairly similar level. In fact, I'd say that the Championship is probably better further down than
it's
the Eredivisie
deeper,
is. But this season, 4.3 shots a game, with two of those from inside the box. Obviously, he's pretty shot happy from distance, but so is Ziyech. 2.4 chances created a match, 3.2 dribbles. I mean, these are obscene. These are excellent in every category. He's pretty fast. He's skillful. He can help press as well. He isn't as young as you'd like. Like, I mean, in an ideal world, he'd be 21, 22. But I completely agree. I mean, obviously, I'm always going to turn this into an Arsenal podcast, but you can absolutely see why he'd be linked with Arsenal. Because he's got positional versatility, can play off the left, can play through the middle. And he's young enough to make him a worthwhile long-term investment, but also old enough that you'd expect him to come in and be able to adapt pretty quickly. I imagine that next season he's going to be playing in one of Europe's top five leagues, either through promotion or because somebody has bought him. And I think that if he's available... Last summer, supposedly, he was available for about 20 mil and nobody went for him. This summer, I think it obviously depends on what happens with Brentford's push for promotion. If they do get promoted, they could ask for more like 35, I think. Mm. If they don't get promoted, I think we might see it get done for maybe about 5 mil less than that. In which case, you might ask yourself, do I go for Buendia or do I go for Benrahma? You know, if they're priced about the same. But I really like this guy. I think everybody does. And Arsenal just need an attacking midfielder. They desperately need it. And you could even argue a team like Leicester could do with some depth in that position, you know? Like, I think that there are plenty of teams you could just do with a little bit more creativity.
Absolutely.
Even Spurs, you know, like, I think... Look, Giovanni Lo Celso is capable of playing that more advanced role, but whenever I watch Spurs this season, after Eriksen's gone, I just think, I'm sorry, who is meant to be picking the passes through here? Like, it seems like it's very much reliant on Son producing something out of nothing. Because the only other guy in the squad who you could imagine playing those passes from deep is Ndombele, and he's obviously not getting a game.
Yeah.
So I could see Benrahma being a good move for them.
For sure. On the game on Sunday in the North London Derby, it seemed like it was Lucas Moura who was providing most of the progressive passes through the lines. And I was just like, that's really not what Lucas Moura's skill set's all about. He's great as the last man, using his pace to get beyond defenders or whatever. But in terms of his passing range and his passing ability, I'd actually say it's probably the weakest part of his game. So a bit more creativity in there, I think, is a great shout.
Yeah, well, so I think we're probably agreed on Benrahma's types of destinations. Also, Dortmund might be an interesting one. If Sancho were to move on, and maybe they think Giovanni Reyna, you know, at 17, maybe he's a little bit young even for us. So let me give you some quick fire transfers and see where you would place them. So let's start with Nelson Semedo, who could be on his way out of Barcelona. Obviously been linked with Inter, but they've now got Hakimi. He's been linked with Manchester City, though I think we assume Joao Cancelo is going to stay. Is there anywhere that you think is a natural landing spot for Semedo?
Well, I think Man City have other issues other than right back this summer. I really wouldn't spend money or, you know, even swap Joao Cancelo for Nelson Semedo. I think Joao Cancelo's got plenty more to give, as we've seen in previous years with his form at Juventus and Valencia. I don't think Nelson Semedo... I think he's a good player. I don't think he's a massive step up in their current right back options, you know, with such extensive work needed at centre back and left back potentially, and maybe a left winger to replace Sane. Then, you know, don't go for it, Man City. Where would I like to... I'd actually kind of just like to see him stay at Barcelona. I find it quite baffling that they're choosing to sell one of their more solid players this season, really. I think, obviously, Sergio Roberto can play at right back, but do they need to change right back when they've got you know, similar to Man City, they need to get a striker in, they need to sort out their front line, they could probably do with a couple of midfielders this summer to replace the likes of Vidal and Busquets in time. So yeah, Barcelona have got bigger issues. I just keep Semedo and sort that, you know, don't make an issue where there doesn't need to be one.
Completely agree. Let's move on to Arkadiusz Milik. What do you think about him?
This has got to be Spurs. I think this is just a dream Spurs signing. I've seen them linked with him extensively. We've talked about a Harry Kane, you know, alternative. I actually think he could rival Harry Kane for a starting spot, particularly at the moment when Harry Kane just doesn't look fully fit whatsoever. His running ability looks like it's massively diminished at the moment. It's the first time that I've really started seeing this Harry Kane decline. And it's understandable because he's been out for so long. He's come back and he's had to play 5 games in 2 weeks or whatever it's been. It's been absolutely ridiculous. But Harry Kane needs a rest. Arkadiusz Milik has been awesome for Napoli this year. I think it's about 14 goals in about 24 games. Has had his injury issues in the past, but a really solid marksman who I think is firing off over 4 shots a game now. So Milik to Spurs, I think it's just a no-brainer.
I completely agree, though. I could also... There's a part of me that could imagine no big club goes for him and like a mid-table Premier League side say, yeah, we'll have it. Like, can you not... Is there not a tiny part of you that could imagine like Crystal Palace saying, you know what, Milik is the missing piece of our puzzle. Signing him, he scores 3 goals in 4 starts and then he gets injured and he's out for the year.
Yeah, I pity any striker that has to join Crystal Palace, I have to say.
Yeah,
I'd stay in Naples over that for sure.
Completely agree. Another Napoli player who could be moving on is Alan. He's obviously, I think he's 29 now, but he's somebody we've obviously been big fans of in the past. Linked with PSG this week, and it does seem like PSG... He'd fit in with their recruitment plan over the last few seasons, you know, like picking up Idrissa Gueye, picking up Ander Herrera, guys who were coming to the end of contracts and were available for less than you'd expect.
Yeah, no, he would, but I don't feel like they have as big a need for him as the other club that I've seen him extensively linked with over the last few months in Everton. Like, I don't understand how Everton are actually even competing in games, and actually at the weekend we didn't see them compete at all, but competing in games with Andre Gomez and Sigurdsson midfield too, with sort of occasionally Tom Davies in there. Like, they do need a holding midfielder or someone with a little bit more discipline, and then let Andre Gomez go and play in front of him. And Sigurdsson looks like he's just lost all his confidence and can't really play in a midfield too when you're so determined to sort of pass backwards the entire time or sideways. He's really fallen off a cliff this year, quite sadly, Gylfi Sigurdsson. Not saying that he can't return, but Alan to Everton would solve a lot of their issues, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Willian at Chelsea, where could he go?
I think Chelsea fans would be kind of sad to see him go now. I think he's really played quite well in recent weeks. I mean, if Inter Milan choose to get rid of Alexis Sanchez, which they probably should do, I could see Willian playing pretty well under Conte at Inter Milan for a season or two. It really depends how long that contract is. But such a bizarre career, Willian. I don't know how he... You know, Chelsea, he had the chance to go to Barcelona like twice, stayed at Chelsea. He's been such a loyal servant to them and has performed really admirably this year whenever he's played. So maybe Inter Milan, but I don't really think Arsenal should be looking at him. He's not the right age profile for an Arteta side, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't really know why a side would sign him given that he's going to ask for big wages. I think the only thing that makes sense to me is either stays at Chelsea for another year and then moves on maybe to MLS or something, because he's going to be 32 this summer, or he goes to Serie A, where you could imagine his combination of work rate, he's still pretty quick, creativity would kind of work out quite nicely. Like, you could definitely imagine him doing a job for Inter despite his age. Alexis Sanchez had an absolutely phenomenal performance the other day. Like,
I haven't caught that yet.
Oh, you should go and check out the highlights. I can't remember who it was, but I think...
When they won 6-0?
Yeah.
Was it against Brescia?
Yes, maybe.
Fair.
But he got a great assist for Godin, a headed assist, and just looked kind of...
Sharp.
Like the player we remember him being.
What a throwback.
Yeah, it really was. Okay, Hussein Aouar, we talked about him a little bit before with Guendouzi.
I think this would be a great pickup for Barcelona, to be honest. I feel like Arturo Vidal, I don't know why, but they seem like they want to get rid of him this summer. They've obviously sold Arteta now. that, I mean, just kind of forget that Pjanic is coming in. I don't know what he's really going to do in this Barcelona side, but Aouar would actually fix a lot of their issues. Like, he's got a bit more creativity than a lot of their other players. He can also play as a left winger as well. We've seen him in the Champions League play out there as well, although you really do want him fixing issues on that left-hand side. He's got a great range of passing. He's, you know, very athletic in terms of his performance levels never seem to drop as games go on. I think he'd be an awesome pickup for Barcelona, to be honest.
Yeah, that would never have occurred to me, but it does seem to make sense because you can also see an Iniesta-ishness in him when he plays. But Bayern Munich might make sense too. Bayern Munich currently linked with Tiemoue Bakayoko and Tanguy Ndombele. But maybe Aouar could work for them as well. Like, it looks like Thiago, whether he renews his contract or leaves, is clearly not going to be the centre of that midfield for that much longer. Cuisance is a deeper player. Tolisso is a deeper player and is not really reliable with fitness now. Thomas Müller is obviously in his 30s. I think having a slightly more advanced midfielder who's also capable of chipping in, because you've got Goretzka, but Goretzka isn't really a creator. Goretzka's good at running from deep and scoring goals, but I do think that Aouar is a much more complete player and is capable of playing as an 8, as a 10. He's capable of pulling out to the wing. I think that having that versatility in the squad would be really helpful for them.
I'd be down with that.
And finally, Justin Kluivert. Now, obviously, we've seen him linked with Arsenal. He was mooted as part of a swap deal for Henrik Mkhitaryan, but that doesn't look like it's happened. Mkhitaryan now gone. Is there a natural landing spot for him? Because it's easy to forget that he's still very young and he's still pretty promising, but
yeah,
no idea now where he ends up.
I think he'll probably stay at Roma for a couple more years. Whenever I watch Roma, which isn't very often, to be honest, because I do find them quite dull to watch, despite like having some really exciting players like Brian Cristante and Lorenzo Pellegrini, who are awesome to watch whenever you do, but I feel like they're just not the most exciting watch under Fonseca in the limited amount I've watched them, to be honest. But Justin Kluivert has never grabbed my attention, and his numbers aren't awesome. But yeah, if they were looking to move him on this summer, I think he was bought for something like 18 million. I seem to remember. I don't think they're going to make a massive profit on that. So I'm not entirely sure where I could see him. Maybe if a Villarreal lost one of their wide men. I know Chuck Waze plays on the right-hand side, but he's been linked with the move for a while. So maybe if they lost someone like that. Like a Europa League level top five league side, I think is where he's at the moment.
Yeah, Sevilla.
Yeah.
Or again, maybe Wolves.
Yeah, again, Wolves wouldn't be the worst shout as well. But I'm not sure whether he'd want to move just now. Yeah, I feel like he's got sort of unfinished business in Rome.
Well, I guess it depends what assurances they're giving him about his minutes less next season, though. Because, of course, before he went there, was a link with Manchester United. You know, people were really hyping him up, and now he's almost a forgotten player.
For sure. No, slightly sad decline. I'd like to see him get going again, because there was a real player in there. Looked like it when he was at Ajax, but yeah, hasn't really caught a light in Rome yet.
Yes, well, thank you very much for lending us your expertise today, Dukes. I think that we've found some interesting solutions there for some of Europe's top clubs, I think.
I think we have. Yeah, no, thoroughly enjoyed it. I'm not sure about any expertise, but yeah, definitely gave an opinion. But yeah, I think it could be actually a really exciting window now. For months we were saying, you know, what funds are going to players, teams going to have, etc. But it seems like most sides, at least in the Champions League, are really going for it, particularly in England. So I think they just see that there's an opportunity to really establish yourself in a top four that, with a lot of sides in decline at the moment, if you spend big and spend wisely. We've seen Chelsea do it, and I think Man City are going to go large as well now they're in the Champions League. So there's plenty of interesting players to pick up.
Yes. And Dukes, what should people do after this? Is there anything you want to plug?
What would I like to plug? Go and, you know, go over to EFD and watch all our content. ERU every week, Euro Transfer Talk, of course, Football Pyramid at the weekend, Bab and Jacko, which hopefully the editor of this video has bleeped the result, but it was entertaining. And go and check out, you know, Continental Clubs from the Past or whatever. Just go and enjoy EFD.
Yes, so thanks very much, Dukes, and thanks to you guys for listening or watching. If you are subscribed to the podcast, thank you very much. If you're not, make sure you subscribe to it now on whichever podcast app you use. And of course, make sure that you subscribe to our new podcast channel, Football Daily Podcasts, where you can check this out, and a forthcoming European podcast, we hope, as well. Thank you very much, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.